105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and in the studio today, my fabulous co-host...
Charlie Grammo-Gillam from Red Key Concepts. It's great to be back, Martin.
Charlie, lovely to see you today. We've got a very sort of construction-themed show today, but we're going to be talking all about the future of house building in particular, aren't we? And how that kind of fits in with net zero and climate change and our commitments there, really, I think, as a country in terms of, reducing our carbon footprint and minimising, our carbon footprint there. So tell us, who have we got in the studio with us today? Because we've got quite an interesting dynamic.
Well, we're lucky enough today to be able to showcase a fantastic development that all three guests are, inclusive of myself, are involved in. So we've got Graham Ross from Square Circle. And we've also got Dan Town from OSG Architecture joining us this afternoon.
Brilliant. So we've got the developer, we've got the architect, and we've got the main contractor that's ultimately going to build it and deliver it all, which is you.
Absolutely. Yep.
Fantastic. Good. So, we're going to be having a bit of a round table conversation about all of that. But I think for now, what we'll do is we'll play a little bit of music. And when we come back, we will talk to Graham as the developer. So do stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for joining the BizConnect radio show today. As we mentioned before the break, we've got a pack studio, literally. We've got lots of packing packing boxes in here as well for some reason today, Charlie. But we're going to be talking about the future of sustainable housing in the context of the UK's commitment to achieving net zero by 2050. And what better place to start than by talking to a very forward-thinking developer who's in the studio with us today, Graham Ross from Square Circle. Graham, lovely to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting us.
Tell us a little bit about what you're up to, please, in terms of your development in Westgate-on-Sea. I've seen it, obviously, firsthand in terms of the fact that we're talking about redeveloping a factory site. But what are you actually planning to put on the site, Graham? Tell us a little bit about that.
We're planning to put net zero carbon housing on the site. We feel it's absolutely appropriate to build homes for the future, particularly at this time. We're all very aware of global warming, the need for saving fossil fuels, not using fossil fuels and fueling our houses in different ways. So it seemed like a very good opportunity to do something positive for the future.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay. So at the moment, I mean, you've been running a very successful furniture business from the site. So you've effectively got two large-ish sort of factory buildings. Is that right?
Well, you say successful. We've had a very checkered few years, to be fair, with recessions, Brexit, COVID.
Mm. And hasn't everybody?
You know, there's been many challenges. So this particular site, it's in an appropriate inappropriate position, being in the middle of residential. We have large lorries, 40-foot lorries, trying to get close to the building, so the opportunity to relocate the factory to a new site in Manston was ideal, and obviously the development of the existing site will help fund that move for slightly downscale business.
Yeah. So, I mean, you are already in a residential area. There's a lot of spotlight, I think, on developments at the moment that aren't necessarily brownfield sites. They're sort of, we're turning agricultural land, for example, Charlie, into housing estates. But this isn't that at all, is it? You know, this is repurposing a brownfield site, as it were, into eco homes.
Exactly, and I think it's a very appropriate use of the space. It's in a very nice location. It's a couple of hundred yards from the beach, walking distance to a golf course, little shops around the corner, walking distance to the station. So, and essentially, they're going to be starter homes. Mm. So the challenge is to build starter homes that are affordable, but also fit for the future, because obviously the technology and everything that's required to make these zero-carbon homes comes at a price.
Yeah.
We have to be very searching in how we actually go about it and question lots of things to make it so that it can be done effectively and commercially.
Yeah. So if we just bring Dan in quickly, I mean, Dan, from your point of view, you know, juggling that kind of sustainability, that net zero objective with affordability and affordable homes, do those, and Charlie as well, do those two go hand in hand or not necessarily?
Yeah, I think the context of trying to achieve the carbon zero brief that Graham set is something we need to do consistently through the design. So it's not just a case of going, well, actually, do you know what, we can come up with one product, one method of construction and run with that. What we need to do is test that, see if it's appropriate, see if it's correct for the site, correct for the design of the buildings, and then test that within the methods of calculating the energy efficiency of that method of construction, and then run with that, or alternatively look at various ways of doing that, so we can then we can then work up a solution that is absolutely right and achieves what we need. There's many ways to skin the cat, if you want to put it that way. And we look at all of them and try to make it as efficient as possible, not just from the energy perspective, but to the hand-in-hand idea of the cost as well that related to that.
And I think on our part, being the main contractor, it's important that we have been involved right from the very early stages of conception, because we can work alongside Dan and his team and Graham and his team, because Dan can design the building, we cost it. So we have to be incredibly creative and very proactive out there by means testing, because on the technical side, it may work incredibly well, but then it might not be within Graham and his team's budget. So it's been a fantastic opportunity for us all to be involved right from the very beginning.
And this strikes me as being not something that you know, sort of follows a traditional template, perhaps, in terms of construction and costing and everything else. So, Graham, has it taken some time to kind of come to fruition, as it were? I mean, you know, when did you actually start this process?
Well, yes, somebody once said not so long ago, I started this when I was still in short trousers. In fact, it actually started in 2013.
Right.
And it was prompted by the council actually asking for people to put up sites for consideration as part of the local plan. In actual fact, it has taken until 2020 to get to where we actually gained planning for it. Not for any specific real major delays, but we had a business to run, and we did have one or two setbacks. We had a regional selective assistance grant in place to build a new factory at Manston, but there were so many strings attached, as much we had to have a sale on the site where we currently were, so we couldn't actually take up that offer. So then, you know, we all sorts of complications have just delayed things, but we're now at the exciting moment where it's actually all starting.
And I think it's come at a perfect time, what with the recent increases in energy prices and us all trying to aim towards net carbon zero. And I think now it's a great opportunity to be able to showcase and actually to show that we as a main contractor, you as a developer, and you as an architectural practice can actually all together work and deliver what's now required.
And what about the local authority? I mean, I guess we're talking about Thanet District Council in this instance. It's Westgate-on-Sea.
Yes.
Have they now embraced what you're trying to do? Because they weren't necessarily fully on board in the first instance, were they?
Well, in the first instance, we asked. I mean, we had to put in a pre-app, which is what we have to do. And to be absolutely fair, they've been quite encouraging all the way along. They came back and said no, because it's an industrial site. We don't release industrial sites for housing. But they did say that, yes, if you put in a... You could, won't stop you putting in an application, and we'd probably look at it favourably.
Right.
But the local Westgate Council were very enthusiastic about it. Well, as soon as we started going down the sort of energy efficient route and net zero carbon. And to be fair, Thanet Council have been extremely helpful and you know, very supportive of it.
Good.
Which is really good news. And it's made the difference as to us actually being able to go ahead, because obviously the cost, we had to do a viability study because of, you know, the fact that they are essentially starter homes.
So yes,
we haven't
yeah.
got huge amounts of you know, cash to play with on it. So yes, it's one of those things where you do need support on all sides to achieve something like this.
So 9 years down the line, we're sort of almost ready to start taking the old factory away and sort this of putting shovels in the ground. Is that right?
Yep, we're very, very close. We have essentially started moving to our new factory. We are in production in our new factory. There's still more to do. But hopefully within the month, the project will be properly underway.
Fantastic. Well, congratulations, and we will definitely have to invite you back on, I think, as things progress. It'd be nice, I think, Charlie, to kind of monitor this from today through to, you know, keys being handed over to owners.
Well,
I guess
that's what we're intending
it?
To do, because it's for us to be able to deliver a completely sustainable, near enough sustainable development is a new sort of badge for us to wear. So we're very excited about it.
Yeah,
so
fantastic.
There'll be lots of updates on the regular social media pages. But yes, I mean, we'd love to come back in and talk about the progress as well.
Very exciting. So, Graham, do stay with us. I think what we'll do is we'll play a little bit more music now. And when we come back, I'd like to talk to Dan from OSG Architects around sustainability and the work that they're doing in particular in that space as well, and how they've kind of been actively involved in the project as well. So do stay with us, and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect,
the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back. You're listening to the BizConnect radio show. We've got a construction theme to our show today, and specifically sustainable construction. We've got a main contractor with us, and my co-host, Charlie Graham O'Gillam from Redkey Concepts.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Charlie. We've got Graham Ross with us from Square Circle Developments. And we also have Dan Tan with us from OSG Architects. And I'd like to turn to you now, if I can, Dan. Do give us an introduction to OSG, please, as a practice, and what you're all about, and some of the kind of work that you guys get involved with.
Yeah, sure, Martin. So OSG Architecture is a practice of 24 staff. We're based just outside of Ashford. And we do a various amount of different types of projects, from education, commercial, housing, that's for major developments, to one-off houses. We've got two significant elements to the practice, one being the concept architecture, the design element, planning, taking clients' brief and developing it right up through to submitting and gaining planning for a particular development or school project. But the other element that we also have, or another arm that we also have at OSG, is a significant technical ability and technical delivery of projects. So we would commonly pick up a project that's already previously got planning, not necessarily by ourselves but by other architects, and we would take it through the technical design stage through to building regs and out to tender and onto site, very much like the current project we're talking here at Westgate on Sea.
Okay, fantastic. So so you effectively inherited a design concept.
Yep.
And then it was your job to turn that into a technical reality in terms of what was feasible and how to to go about it.
So absolutely. Mm. So when we came on board, the project got planning, and Graham was just finalising the elements of the planning application to demonstrate to the local authority that it's going to be a net carbon zero project. So we had a specialist consultant on board who was writing the sustainability reports and discharging effectively the planning condition associated to the net zero element.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, we had then a basis, effectively a brief for the technical element of the project to take it forward, so we knew what we had to do, so the criteria effectively, and then we've picked that up, worked with Graham to develop a design, which is still happening. I think it's quite important, I mentioned it before, that the development of the design doesn't just kind of get to a point and it stops. It's always investigating various methods of execution, shall we say, to get to the to get to the carbon zero requirements. So yeah, we took that, we've developed up a detailed design, and then Red Key have come on board as well, and we're finalising the bits and pieces to do with our design brief effectively. So for example, we've got SAP calculations that have been carried out, and we're needing now final M&E design elements that bolt into that to confirm that yes, we are still achieving our net zero process. So to have,
sounds like a very collaborative approach. Yeah. With the, you know, yourself, Graham, Charlie as main contractor, yourselves as the architects.
Yeah, absolutely. there's another practice that we work with as well, SEA, who are the energy performance consultant who writes the SAP calculations, and the SAP calculations effectively is the detailed calculation that all of the various construction methods, various heating methods, solar panel allowance, air source heat pumps, MVHR go into, and this calculation creates an EPC or a value which confirms our achievement in the net carbon zero
and that's process. Obviously the vital piece that we're all aiming to get. And I think, no, let's not forget, as Graham mentioned, this scheme has been on Graham's sort of desk for the last sort of 9 years, and so much has changed over those 9 years that, you know, Dan and his team have been incredibly proactive in re-looking at the scheme, and when it comes over to us, obviously there's a huge change in materials with regards to how we can or input in change potentially in materials with regards to how available they are, the cost hike that we're all seeing. All materials are going up incredibly in price at the minute, and then that gives us an opportunity to go back to Dan and his team and say, well, actually, can we tweak this? What can we do? Because we've got a price that the cost is, you know, cost certainty for Graham, and I think that's the most important thing, where the three of us can all be very proactive and have three different heads on our shoulders to make sure this scheme is delivered.
And in terms of, you know, net zero, what are we actually talking about here, Dan? In you know, when we say it's a net zero development, does that mean there is some carbon offset at the end of the project to kind of get us to net zero? I mean, we're not talking about a passive house scenario, presumably.
No, we're not. The concept of passive house is effectively rigorously achieving the requirements for energy performance, and that's both within the fabric and the technology within a building. Net carbon zero is effectively creating a building that doesn't rely on incoming resource, basically. It self-serves itself. So what we're trying to do is, there is a difference between net zero and passive house. Passive house is very, very particular, to the point where passive house really is it should be the initial immediate brief from a client on a site. So what we need to do is we need to determine the exact orientation of those dwellings, the exact positioning, the what we are from the outset in terms of the actual site itself. That's the starting, when you're at the crossroads of passive house. Net carbon zero is certainly a huge uplift on standard building regs, mm-hmm. and minimum requirements for energy performance. But what we're able to do in this example is inherit effectively a design scheme from 9 years ago that didn't have from the outset an intention for carbon zero. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a developed requirement and brief from Graham. So we're able to then take an existing development effectively and then move it towards and create a net carbon zero design.
So it's about creating something that is as energy efficient as it can be,
yes,
without the restrictions of passive house.
Yeah. Yeah,
governance and regulation.
That goes into that goes into kind of even the airtightness of of the building. Mm. A passive house airtightness is extremely low,
yes,
in terms of the numbers that we've got to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are still having a low figure for airtightness, but it's the intention and the concept to have the mindset of a passive house construction and methodology is actually not a bad thing to have in net zero.
Mm.
It's just obviously we're not trying to achieve passive house in this instance. So,
yeah, fantastic. So in terms of examples here, we're talking about, Graham, I know we've had a conversation about this. We're talking about timber frame construction.
That's correct.
For example, is one of the things. We're talking about solar PV in terms of generating power from the roof.
Correct.
For the buildings. Obviously, we are talking about a very thermally efficient building as well, Dan, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's right. When you look at from the outset when you start looking at projects like this, and actually even what we would call standard building regs, the best methodology is fabric first. So you look for the best and most efficient fabric with regard to the U values and the performance of that fabric. Once you've set that, you're able to then bolt on effectively the modern technologies to that to work with the fabric of the building. So the key here is fabric first, getting that absolutely right, getting the key concept of whether it's a modern method of construction. That could be a SIPS, that could be a timber frame. The concept is to try and make sure that is as efficient as possible.
Yeah.
Then what you're able to then do is add in the technologies on top of that to further the requirement. Yeah.
And the one thing we didn't talk about, of course, was air source heat pumps, which I think, your solar PV panels on the roof will be powering or enabling an air source heat pump, and because of the insulation and the thermal efficiency and the draft proofing of the building, will actually be sufficient, hopefully, to warm and heat the house and provide hot water as well.
That's the intention, yes. Mm-hmm. And there will be the facility for backup batteries. We won't necessarily fit them to all houses, but they will be ready wired to accept them. The battery technology is evolving very fast,
yeah,
so we don't want to jump the gun on that.
Yeah.
But on the PV, one of the things from my sort of design background, I'm sort of very passionate about how these houses are going to look.
Mm.
And I'm not a lover of seeing PV panels on roofs when they're just plonked on.
Mm.
So we do hope to have these PV panels flush fitted so that it looks intended and part of the actual original construction.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, from what I've seen, I think people spend as much time bird-proofing solar PV panels as they do actually installing them, so that's good to hear.
Especially in Westgate-on-Sea.
Yeah, exactly, with all the seagulls. Yeah, fantastic. Brilliant. Dan, thank you so much for that. I think, what we're going to do, we're going to play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we're going to bring Charlie into the conversation to give us her sort of main contractor perspective on this particular development. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Biz Connect radio show. We're talking about sustainability in construction today, in particular in residential home development. And I'd like to turn to my co-host now, if I can, Charlie Graham-O'Gillam.
Afternoon.
Charlie, lovely to have you with us. Do tell us a little bit, by way of an introduction to Red Key Concepts, who you are and what you're all about, and how you've got involved with this particular development in Westgate-on-Sea.
Of course. Well, firstly, it's a delight to be back, so thank you very much, Martin. We are a privately owned main contracting business based in sunny Whitstable, although it's not particularly sunny today. We cover the whole of the South East and the London-Surrey borders, and a majority of our projects are now awarded on a design and build contract, where actually we oversee literally everything from conception to delivery. So for us, it's imperative that we're brought in right from the beginning, and we carefully select the design team to work on each individual project. That helps us offer the client the most proactive and cost-effective solution, which is areas that we've discussed already today with Graham and Dan. I'd suggest that, you know, a majority of our sort of contracts are for sort of residential new build still, but where the markets have changed slightly over the last 5 years, we're getting a lot of contracts awarded within the education and healthcare sectors as well, which is really, really encouraging. Mm-hmm. There's significant growth, especially in Kent, on both of those particular sectors. And also a prime example, which Graham has just explained to us, with the ongoing demand of sort of commercial buildings needing to change their use as we're coming out of lockdown, more people working from home, commercial offices downsizing, and landlords and owners trying to get change of use for those particular buildings. So there's another influx of buildings that do require fit out or extension or just basically a change, to be quite honest.
And of course there's this huge pressure to deliver, you know, this notional government target on an annual basis of 300,000 new homes. So, you know, I think everybody in their kind of immediate environment is seeing more and more development going on ultimately.
I think there's definitely more opportunity out there for main contractors, as again, especially in the Kent sector.
Yeah, fantastic. So talking about Graham's development, in particular in Westgate, how have you guys got involved in terms of delivering that kind of net zero, that kind of sustainability, you know, key part of that brief in terms of your supply chain?
Well, we're a relatively young family-run business, and as such, we're always exploring avenues that give us sort of that extra USP, sort of when it comes to approaching work to tender. We're well aware that we've got a commercial responsibility to ensure that everything we're doing as a business, that we can sort of reduce our carbon footprint. So from running our offices to our sites and sort of what business model we can, or build model we can offer our clients. And I think, you know, for us, it was a great opportunity. We were invited to tender against other main contractors in the local Kent area, by Graham and his co-partner, David. And at the time, we were given the opportunity to really get fully involved and obtain a real understanding of Graham's concept and what his vision was going to be. And at that point, we, you know, we're also given an opportunity to have an input and give some real life feedback with regards to sustainability, examples that we'd done before, buildings that we'd delivered and developments we'd delivered before, and slight changes that they may feel benefited the development for what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. And it must be a nice change for you in many ways, because you know, as a main contracting firm, I know you're always very keen to kind of give clients the option of building more sustainably, but in many instances, I guess things come down to cost, and kind of cost is the kind of the, you know, the main consideration in lots of developments. In this instance, you know, Graham has a very strong ethos in terms of what he's trying to create and set of values. And, yeah. And so you've actually started with that, you know, as the beginning point, rather than trying to sort of cajole it into the process, if you like.
Yeah, I mean, being brought in right from sort of from Dan's Dan and his team's from their sort of their drawings, their working drawings, it gave us an opportunity before we submitted our tender to really sort of pressure test the market on cost certainty for Graham. And whilst we're never we can't ever eliminate a risk that the costs may change, building materials, as I've mentioned before, delays, etc., etc. What we can do is do our very best at tender stage by really sort of scrutinising Dan's design in order to make sure that we can deliver within time and within budget. Mm.
And how critical is that at the moment? I mean, you know, we talked earlier on about, you know, that the fact that this is a very collaborative approach that you guys are taking here, you know, in terms of being open about everything. How difficult on a day-to-day basis, Charlie, is it at the moment for construction firms like yours to, you know, to keep a lid on costs, and how quickly is it changing?
Well, I think that is pretty much eliminated at tender stage, if you've put in a cost certainty. And really, in answer to your question, I mean, and what we focused on with this development specifically is really sort of making sure that we've got the proper means and resources to deliver the project. Our supply chain is imperative in this particular project, as it is with all of them. And we do really encourage a local supply chain. And we've got some fantastic, very loyal subcontractors that are keen to work on this, because for them it's a new exciting project as well.
It's a showcase
and it's
development.
A showcaser, absolutely. And it's very exciting. It's exciting times at the minute.
But inevitably, I guess, Dan and Graham, there need to be conversations about, look, you know, this material has increased, you know, the cost of, or the delivery time, you know, and there need to be kind of compromises, you know, kind of discussed and agreed. Is that the case, or?
There are always compromises, but you've got to find the best solution to tick the boxes, or as many boxes as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
And with this particular model, the way that we are working is that if there is a significant uplift for something that isn't any of our control, the three of us will get together just to try and really find the most perfect solution.
I think also, just to add to that, is the procurement is cost. We're talking about cost, but also delivery. I think there's a huge issue that we're having and we're experiencing where we're selecting a roof tile, gets approved by planning, and then we find out that the manufacturer has stopped their factory or shut their factory down or reduced their workload, and then all of a sudden the tiles are on a ridiculously long lead-in time, and so we're having to then change it. So it is a forever changing process. That's why it's got to be continuous. The communication has got to be continuous, and various options need to be put onto the table.
Fantastic. Good. So where do we kind of go from here, do we think? You know, in terms of the work that you're doing, Dan, with regard to kind of sustainability and developments, what are you kind of seeing in the marketplace, do you think? Is this something that's becoming more common?
Absolutely. I think we're finding that we have developments even that are nearing completion or at point of sale, and the consumer is having a lot more of an impact on future choices from developers. The philosophy of buying an eco-friendly home has always been there. I think it's always been on everyone's mind. But there is an honest truth as to an EPC in a sale is probably the one document that not anyone really takes any attention to or takes any notice of. But now what seems to be happening is that a lot more of the younger generation, especially the first-time buyers, are much more aware and conscious of the planet and everything that comes with requiring your reduction in your carbon footprint. And so they're looking at the EPCs. It's one of the first things they look at, which is, to me, that's a really new thing. I know it sounds odd, but I think there's been a big shift. And we're finding that developments that are now being sold, the question is there an air source heat pump there, or can we remove the gas hob? We don't want gas to come into this.
Interesting. You know?
And I think that the reason at the forefront of that is obviously energy bills are going through the roof. Mm. And so therefore you've got to look at alternative ways of doing it. And I think that's perfect timing for Graham's situation, because we're designing a scheme that is achieving all of that and beyond it. Mm. But I think it's a general shift that OSG are seeing on a number of developments. Even very, very early concept strategic sites we're working on now is looking at completely revolving around the sustainability and the energy performance of every house.
Good. Well, again, I think what we're going to do, we're going to break for some music, and when we come back for the final part of the show, I'd like to understand what we think some of the headwinds might be that we're facing in the construction industry with regard to kind of delivering on net zero by 2050 and crucially, you know, halving our emissions by the end of this decade, by 2030. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today. We've had a fascinating conversation about building net zero homes for the future, but in the here and now, as it were, literally, with a development that's happening in Westgate-on-Sea. What I'd like to do, guys, now, if we can, is just talk about sustainability in the context of, you know, the government's target for the United Kingdom in terms of net zero by 2050, and in fact, in theory, halving our carbon emissions by the end of this decade, so that's in 8 years' time, and what we think perhaps, you know, some of the obstacles in the way of us achieving that actually are. And Dan, if I could turn to you, you know, we've been talking about, you know, building new homes to a net zero standard, which is one thing, but we've got 26 million existing homes in the UK. You know, is it realistic to expect us to be able to retrofit all of those, you know, in terms of reducing those carbon emissions?
Yeah, well, sure. I think like I mentioned before, that when we come to do designs on specific schemes, new build schemes like we've got with Graham, my key element was fabric first, and there is an enormous stock of existing buildings which have timber floors, timber floorboards, you know, that are drafty, and so there is a huge amount of work to do to existing buildings before you even put the technology in. It's wasted to put the technology in, and it's in my opinion a pointless task until you've got that fabric half decent. We're not saying that, you know, you're going to have a kind of 1950s terrace house that you can suddenly make into a current fabric building. However, there are methods that can be done that are cost effective before you start plugging in the big expensive kit that obviously everyone is aware of, air source heat pumps and solar panels. Yeah. And it would go a long way to even just doing that as a first instance.
So it's a case of more modernising or modernisation of an existing dwelling as opposed to going in and retrofitting.
Yeah. And I think, you know, energy efficiency, regardless of whether the energy is ultimately from renewable sources, is still going to be a critical factor, because, you know, we're not going to be able to produce in the short term an endless supply of renewable energy. I mean, the government want us to be in a position by 2035 to be, you know, producing 100% of our energy needs from renewables, like wind, for example, like solar, and a big question mark over nuclear at the moment. But the demands on that energy are going to go up exponentially as well, as we all start to plug in air source heat pumps and drive electric cars, and everything's going to be electric. So we still need to conserve energy wherever we can, don't we?
Yeah, well, we've seen that, haven't we, with the introduction of electric cars. And earlier, Dan, when we were off air, gave a brilliant example, and I shan't steal it, but I will.
Go ahead.
About the philosophy of the mobile phone and how it's you know, when it started it was fantastic and new, and now it's sort of bread and butter, isn't it? Now we've seen on the electric car front that a majority of our new developments that we get involved in, they must have a charging point, or there must be the outlet for a charging point. And that's becoming pretty standard. And I think that's the external fabric of the building. So where we get involved, it's not just, you know, the internal, it is the external as well, and the landscaping and how sustainable that is and where's that sourced from, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a really good point as well. And we forgot to mention, Graham, of course, that your development will have, they'll have dedicated parking spaces with electric vehicle charge points as well.
Yes.
As a matter of course.
Yes, that's an area which is interesting. And one thing I would encourage the electric car makers to do is standardise on the plug-ins, because that's going to cause a problem.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
But you know, I guess what I'm getting to here is that, you know, we are in a position where, as a developed country, even we are playing a massive game of catch-up here in terms of being able to deliver this net zero target. And I was watching the head of the United Nations giving a talk last week, and he was talking about the fact that, you know, net zero 1.5 degrees 2050 is on life support. You know, he's not convinced that we're going to actually deliver that as a target now, and actually we may not be able to even deliver +2 degrees, you know, as a kind of climate change target.
Yeah, I think also it's really the philosophy of us as people, the human instinct to open a window in the winter because you want some fresh air in, you know, is going against the concept of what we've got to try and do when we're looking at carbon zero housing or passive housing. MVHRs in passive houses and carbon zero housing is essential to work when you've got the window closed because it's bringing fresh air in. And I think the concept is that we've got to try and change our philosophy on that side of things.
And people will ultimately, we're all going to have to make sacrifices. I think, you know, that's the reality, whether it's going on holiday abroad less often, to, you know, what car you drive, or, you know, turning the thermostat down, whatever it is, we've all got to kind of do our bit ultimately, haven't we? And that for me is the key challenge here. Guys, it's been fascinating talking to you today.
Thank you.
Been an absolute pleasure having you all in the studio. We could talk all day on this subject. I think it's a fascinating subject, but it's great to hear that, you know, stuff is happening on the ground, you know, with people like Graham and Charlie and Dan here. You know, when you don't necessarily have to, you're not necessarily required to by law at the moment. And that in itself is quite staggering, really, in many ways as well, isn't it? But thank you so much for joining us today, our listeners as well, on the BizConnect radio show. We will be back in 2 weeks' time with a studio full of new guests, which we look forward to bringing you. But for now, it's goodbye from all of us.
Goodbye. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
And thank you for joining us. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
BizConnect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.